I want to introduce you to a brother, Pavel Malkowski, and just to tell you that these brethren are here because of a chance meeting about 20 years ago. This brother went up two times. He went up to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a feast for all.
Laubhüttenfest, das ist ein Fest, was allen Nationen offen steht.
These brethren, and that's so that whatever happens tonight, it's his responsibility here. So, Pavel, we really appreciate that. And so, I just want to open by saying, in the last 20 years, I believe that Christians especially are trying to bless the Jewish people and the Jewish nation to the point where they pay for the Jews to travel back and make aliyah, and they give millions and millions of dollars for the sake of Israel. I had the opportunity this afternoon to talk about the warm, very warm relationship Brother Russell had with Joseph Rabinowitz, the rabbi from Russia, from Kiev, which is now Moldova. And Brother Russell, of course, writes about this man, this Orthodox Jewish man, in many articles in his writings. And do you know that Joseph Rabinowitz spent two full days in the home of Brother Russell in Allegheny, Pennsylvania? And Brother Russell, on his first trip to Israel, stopped especially in Russia to meet Joseph Rabinowitz. And at the end of that day, they both knelt down together and prayed together in Rabinowitz's home. So, I have visited these brethren three times. Their hospitality is on another level. Bible students have lots of good hospitality. The hospitality I felt in my three visits was just incredible. They are very good students of the scriptures. I hope we are good students of the scriptures, and I hope we have a lot of good dialogue in the future. Brother Emmanuel, it's all yours.
Thank you, Paul. We are grateful to all of you, especially to the organizers for inviting us to this place of communion together in one faith, in the same God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Father and God of our Messiah, Yeshua. I emphasize the name Yeshua. This is his name, and this is the name he should call by all of you. Yeshua, not Jesus, not Jesus, not any other name. Yeshua, which means God's salvation. Second thing, I praise the Lord, praise God, that we came here on the purpose which He only knows, because we don't know really why. I want to emphasize what we are not. We are not Christians. Maybe you will be a little bit surprised by this. Second, we are not the Bible students. So what are we? We are a congregation of Jews called Hefziba, and soon we are going to sing a song called Hefziba, which means my delight is in her, taken out from Isaiah 62 verses 1 to 4. Our congregation is comprised from Jews who come from all over the world. Soon I'm going to introduce all of you. Maybe each one say from where he comes, because I don't remember. So, I don't have anything prepared, written, like you had before in the former sessions. So, God help me to express what I should express here. I trust God, He'll give me His words. Let's start with where we live. Okay? Okay, let's sing, first of all, Hephzibah, which is, as I said before, taken. Ah, Shema Yisrael. Oh, okay, sorry. They want to sing Shema Yisrael. This is one thing which we are connected, and surely we believe all in one God. Not two, not three, not polytheistic, but we all believe like Abraham and Moses believed in one God. And this song is called Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is the prayer and is the decree of Israel to the whole world that there is only one God. And it says, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Which means, Hear, O Israel, our God, Lord, is one, one alone. Anyhow, thank you. I want to introduce our group. We are 10 from Israel, from Maale Adumim, the city near Jerusalem, on the east side of Jerusalem, on the way to the Dead Sea. Please, everyone I call his name will arise so you will know, and he'll tell you where he was born. Everyone. Okay? Our leading brother is David Tiltzu. Okay? Ata. His wife, Eti Tetzu.
Born in Israel.
She's the only tzabu among us. Okay. Eli ben Moshe. His wife, Sarah. Yoel Kadmiel.
I was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, United States. Not by choice.
His wife, Ruth Kadmiel.
I was born in Sydney, Nebraska.
Sharon Marcus.
I'm Sharon Marcus. I was born in Boston, also not by choice.
Ahuva Gazit, my wife.
I was born in Moscow.
And myself, Emmanuel Gazit, I was born in Austria. So you see a mixture. Ah, Michael. Sorry. Michael.
I was born in Colorado.
There you go.
Michael is the cowboy among us. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit excited and not too much focused. But thanks God, it will be okay. After this, our congregation, as I said, is in Ma'ale Adumim. And you can see here some of the pictures which you can see, or some of the things, features of our congregation. I hardly can see from here, but at the right side you can see the podium, behind the podium, and then you have the Aron HaKodesh, which is the second with the blue curtain, where we have the roll of the Torah, or scroll. And then you can see inside the Aron HaKodesh, you can see two scrolls of the Torah. And after this, you have a picture of a certain curtain which is behind the podium. And on the left, total left, I can see, it's the wine. When we share the Lord's Supper, then on the podium we have wine and bread, or matzah, actually. It doesn't work. Okay. Now you can see our congregation on Passover. On the right side you see some of our members of our family. We are a big family, but a small congregation. At the upper side, you can see the candles of Shabbat, of Passover actually. Sometimes Passover comes with Shabbat together. It differs from year to year. And on the left side, you can see there is a custom on the night of Passover when there are four guys. One is the wise guy, the other is the evil guy, and then there's the one who is naive or innocent, and the last one is the one who cannot pose questions. Usually small kids are doing it. Now these are teenagers. At the lower part, or the right side, you can see our brother David is blessing the kids of the congregation, which is done usually at Passover, but more even at Tabernacles, Sukkot. And then you can see in the middle the matzot, which is the unleavened bread, which is our bread for 7 days on Passover. And at the left side is the plate of the Passover, which has the different features of the Passover, the Seder. It's called the Seder, or in English we would call it the order. Seder Pesach. We celebrate Pesach, not Pascha, or not, how do you call it in English? Easter, not Easter. We celebrate according to the Bible, exactly Exodus, what God has commanded us. One very important thing to mention is that our Bible, like yours, is comprised from the Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, which means the law, the prophets, and the writings, and the New Testament. We don't like too much say the Old Testament because it has not only the same value as the New Testament, but it's the basis of everything. In the past, people which I met, believers, said to me, to others in our congregation, you have to watch the Word of God in the light of the New Testament. Wrong. You have to see the New Testament in the light of the Tanakh. This is the basis.
Usually you have to say First Covenant, not Old Testament.
Right.
First Testament, First Covenant. Remember this. Old, it sounds very bad. By the way, all the customs that you see here, Yeshua used to do the same thing. The same thing, to celebrate those feasts and doing everything. So This is not something that we invented. This is not something that it is over there, straight in the Word of God. And Yeshua used to do all those things. Remember that.
Right immediately, or a few weeks later than Passover, on the month of Iyal, which is the second month according to the Tanakh, to the Bible, we celebrate first the Memorial Day of the fallen soldiers, which is called in Hebrew Yom HaZikaron. And you see the word, the Hebrew word Yizkor, remembering, and the candle for every soul, fallen soul, we light candles. And you can see on the left side, soldiers standing in front of graves. There are at least 22,000 soldiers fallen in the wars of Israel. Then we come to next day. We come to the Yom HaAtzma'ut, which is the Independence Day. Last year we celebrated 68 to the state of Israel. On the right side of the On the right side, you can see the celebration of the night of Yom HaAtzma'ut in Jerusalem. And this is the parade of those who carry the flags. It's a very impressive ceremony. But when we gather together, we pray for the peace of the land of Israel and for the hope of the return of all the Jews, but not only the Jews, but all the Israelites to the homeland, and that the promises of God for the to fulfill the land in its full extension. I hope you know that the Israel of today is not the full Israel, is not the real complete Israel. So whatever God promised to Abraham will be come back, I don't know how, but it will happen. A certain lady asked me, do you think that, I don't want to offend you, but she asked me, do you think that people of Israel should fight for their land or to wait in faith? I said, there's no such thing as waiting in faith. Faith is doing. And all of us served in the army, including some of the ladies here. Our sons, some of them are already finished in the army, but some of them are still serving in the army. We believe that we have to fight for our land, and contrary to many Christians who believe that they shouldn't carry a sword or a rifle, we believe we should. We are not pacifists. Yeah. Teshuva Adonai. Okay. Let's, Teshuva Adonai is from Psalm 126, 1-3, and it speaks about the time when God is bringing back all the sons of Israel to Zion, and that time we will sing and be full of joy, and in the nations, and you are the nations, they will say, and you already say probably, God has done a lot to this nation.
Azi amru atoi, im
After Yom HaTzmaut, at the same month of Iyar, we have the Day of Jerusalem. As you can see, a parade of people who carry the flags of Israel near the walls of Jerusalem. The Six Days War was one of the famous wars. It was short, only 6 days, actually 6 hours. Two of us, or three of us, have participated in this war. We fought in this war, David, myself, I think Eddie was there. It's the reunion of the old city of Jerusalem. Now, you know, there's going a big debate, and we are probably living in the end days. There's going to be a big fight, a big war about Jerusalem. So please, all of you, in your congregations, pray for us. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the united Jerusalem to stay like this forever and ever by the grace of God.
What is the real name of Jerusalem? No, the city of God. The city of God. The land of Israel is the land of God. And Jerusalem is the city of God. Not Washington, not Paris, not London, not New York, but Jerusalem.
Second request of prayer, please pray that the temple will be built. Unless a temple will be built, there'll never be a real peace in the world. There'll never be the coming of the Antichrist or the beast, because he is going to be revealed within this temple, but for a very short time. Thank God for his promises, because our Lord Yeshua Mashiach is going to reign from Jerusalem, the city of God, with the help of God within a few years, decades, I don't know how much. So pray that the city of Jerusalem will be still one, and there is going to be built a temple. What has kept our people in exile for 2,000 years was this prayer. Bashana haba'a b'Yerushalayim habnuya, which means next year in the built, meaning built, temple of Yerushalayim. That and few other prayers have kept our people to be the people who they are today. Thank God. Shiru lamelech. Okay, we are going to sing now to the king. Sing to the king. Shiru lamelech, the words are, Shiru lamelech. Now, brothers, we are all brothers and sisters together, sing to the King, the Messiah, the Lord, Yeshua, the Mashiach. David suggests, please stand up and be rejoicing with us together and Abba, So you see, you could rejoice together with us. La la la, everyone can sing. What happened? Okay. The next feast is called Shavuot or Pentecost. It's totally different than the Pentecost, which Christians know. I don't know about you. Do you celebrate Pentecost? No. Good for you. No eggs? Good for you. Okay, Shavuot is expressing, first of all, the name Shavuot comes from weeks. You know, in the Bible, in Exodus, it is, we are commanded to count from the eve, from the next day of Passover, the first of the feast, 50 days till Shavuot, and 50 days, if you divide it, are actually 7 weeks, 49 days, and then the Shavuot falls on the 15th. This is the first name. The second name is Matan Torah. At the same day, after Exodus, after going out of Egypt, they came to the Mount Sinai, and as you remember, Moshe went up to the mountain to receive the Torah, which you might call the law, but we call it Torah. And this changed the whole world. This was the point where the people of Israel started to be the people of Israel. They received the law, they received the Torah, and act since then more or less according to this law. I say more or less because, you know, in history, there were many times when the people of Israel failed God, but God said, I am going to choose myself a nation who will be a special nation, a nation who will glorify God, who should glorify God. But if we don't keep the law, the commandments, we are bound to receive judgment. And that's what happened all over the history. And if you think that the task of Israel is a failure, you're mistaken. Because by good and by worse, Israel is an example to the whole world and also to you, to all of you believers. If you don't walk with God under His commandments, you will be put under judgment, as we were all our history. So, this is the second thing. The third thing is Bikurim, or the first fruits. We were commanded we should bring our first fruits from all over the land of Israel to the temple, to the priests, and to thank God for all the abundance and all the richness which He gave us, whether in the land, in the spirit, in the physical things, having our rain at time, and so on and so forth. This should be expressed by bringing the firstborn of every animal, especially those who are animals who are kosher animals, and also the firstborn of man. But the firstborn of man is not sacrificed, of course. So there is a redemption. It is some ransom or some payment which every son of every father has to give for his firstborn son. Shir. Beshuv Adonai. Ah, sorry. Kinitzion Petre Torah. 35. Huh? Is it? Okay. 35. Numbers 35. We want to hear now the testimony of our brother Kadmiel. Please come here.
Wow, there's a lot of people here. Yeshua said, if you're willing to profess my name before man, I will profess you before the Father. As you know, I come from Colorado. My parents are sitting here. I grew up a country boy. In summertime, I worked on the farms, worked on the ranches. That's how I grew up. Whole concept of Israel Judaism is a long way from me. My family grew up, I grew up in a family that is a conservative family, a God-fearing family, always was a God-fearing family. But there was always just this thing in the background. I noticed that when I was a teenager, just starting to become a teenager, that something with my parents about Israel started popping up, that we needed to be in Israel. We have Jewish roots. Jewish people are supposed to be in Israel. I hadn't come to faith. It wasn't an issue for me. I had no desire to go to Israel. But they were forcing this issue of going to Israel. I said, no way, not me. So at the age of 17, I had to figure out what I was going to do with my life because I wasn't going to Israel. Age of 17, I decided that I was going to see the world. And that's exactly what I did. I joined the United States Marine Corps. Be all you could be. That's what I did. As a naive kid, I went into boot camp at the age of 17. And boy, did I have an eye-opening experience to what the world was all about. With no faith, it was easy for me to be pulled into things that maybe some of you have never experienced. Things that you've never seen. Participate in things that none of you would ever consider participating in. The way of the world is a way of sin. And I can tell you personally, at that time I enjoyed every bit of it. But there was always something missing. Years down the line, 5 years after serving in the military, seeing the world, if it was the Far East, Panama, all of these different places that the Marines would fight and be, I was there. Sooner or later, it was time to get out and start to build a life. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was going to do with myself. My parents at some point decided to come and visit me. They found me working in Michigan, working two jobs, and I didn't know where I was going with my life. My father, he handed me his Bible and says, do you have one of these? No. He's a man of very few words, doesn't say much. He says, well, this might come in handy as he handed me his Bible. Never opened it, never looked at it. At some point, I found myself in California with my brother, but I was very much alone, very much alone. I lived in an apartment which was probably maybe 50, 60 square feet, 70 square feet, had a bed, a kitchen, and a bathroom. That was it. And I was very
alone.
And yet that Bible was sitting there. For some reason, I have no idea, when I packed my stuff in Michigan, that Bible somehow made it into my bag. I don't know how it got there. I don't remember putting it in the bag. But there it was in California on the desk. Never opened it, never looked at it. As loneliness started to set in, nobody to talk to, just working my job on a day-to-day basis, that Bible got louder. Yeah. And at some point I opened that Bible. I can't tell you which verse. There was nothing that came out of the sky and says, I want you to believe in me, or anything like that. I got down on my knees and said, I'm yours. Do what you want with me. Now I made a phone call to my parents. How are you? I haven't talked to you in, 2 years, 3 years? I had not a word. All of a sudden, there's a seed born in my heart. You're supposed to be in Israel. I don't know why. What am I going to do in Israel? I spent everything I had not to go to Israel. So I decided it was time to go to Israel. But when you go to Israel, you have to prepare things ahead of time. My mother suggested that maybe I should call a rabbi in San Francisco and sit with that rabbi. And because that's the things you have to do. You have to make sure your papers are in order and that you won't have any problems immigrating, what have you. That phone sat on the desk for 2 weeks like a huge brick wall. I couldn't pick it up. 2 weeks I stared at that phone. Yeah? Finally, one day, I said, that's it. If I'm going to do this, it's time to do it. I picked up the phone. That rabbi was so happy to talk to me. Oh, another person going to Israel. Come and sit with me. So I went and sat with him. He's a very nice rabbi. Yeah, an incredible man. Yeah. And he told me one simple thing. He said, it doesn't matter what they say to you there. You're a Jew. You've always been a Jew. You always will be a Jew. Okay. One-way ticket to Israel. One-way ticket. My grandfather, God rest his soul, said if he wants to go, it's one way. And that's what he did. He purchased me a one-way ticket. That's it. Got on the plane. I have witnesses here. Watched me get off that plane 18 hours later. Yeah? Looked around. I said, what am I doing here? I had no idea why I went to Israel. Shortly thereafter, we had a picture here somewhere, I don't know what happened to it, of the Jordan River. I made a decision to be baptized. David and Emmanuel took me to the Jordan River and then baptized me in the name of Yeshua. Since then, a whirlwind. Ever since then. But still, the question arises, what are you doing in Israel? Now I look back, 23 years later, I have two children serving in the military, third generation serving in the military. My father served in the IDF, I served in the IDF, now my children are serving in the IDF. I know why I'm in Israel. God said, go to Israel and plant your roots in Israel. Rebuild your family in Israel. And that's exactly what we're doing, 100%. I want to say something. This morning and yesterday I heard the discourses of speaking. And somebody said, I don't remember if it was yesterday or today, but we need to live like Yeshua lived. Who is Yeshua? Do you guys know who Yeshua is? Anybody know who Yeshua is? He's a Jew. A devout Jew. He was a Jew. He is a Jew. And will be a Jew. Always. We serve Him. We want to walk like Him. That's an easy thing to say. The question is, how did He walk? And how are you going to walk? Yeshua kept the Torah. Every word. Otherwise He couldn't have fulfilled the Torah. He also said, not one letter of the law will pass until the passing of the heavens and the earth. Look around you. Heavens and earth are still here. The law has not passed. The law has not passed, and no man on the face of this earth has the right to cancel out the law that God set in place and the law that Yeshua kept. We have to keep the law. We are Jews. We have to keep the law. He kept the law. How do we know He kept the law? He preached. He spoke in the synagogues. If He had not kept the law, they would not have let Him talk in the synagogues. Had He not kept the law, they would not have let Him in the holy temple to teach in the temple. Remember that and always remember that. So when you say you want to be like Yeshua, learn who He is. Dig in and find out who He is. That's what I've been doing for 23 years, and I'm a long ways away from who He is. I have a long ways to go. We all have a long ways to go. This is the path we need to be on. Yeshua is the Messiah. He is the only Son of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes before the Father but by me. That's why we're here. May God bless all of you. Thank you.
Honestly, I'm amazed because I know Michael for 23 years. I never heard him speak like this. I never heard the whole truth about him. Now I know better. Thank God. I'm amazed. I'm excited. And God bless all of you, like Michael said. And let's keep on going. Now, okay, let's sing Aron Mincha, which is number one. Just a minute. Number one, the words are taken from Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2. And the words say, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever.
Oh, you're my father.
After Shavuot, there's a break, a feast, and you already heard today about Tisha B'Av, the ninth of the month Av. This evening begins the first of Av, the month of Av. What happened, you already heard today in Daniel Scaletta sermon, I believe. So I'm not going to expand about this. But you know, Napoleon, one day, when he went to a certain place where he found Jews mourning and crying and praying with tears, a lot of tears, he asked the people around him, what are they doing? Why are they crying? The answer he got, they said, they are mourning because of the falling, of the destruction of their temple. So we ask, when did it happen? They say, about 1,700 years ago. He said, what? And then he said, you know, I believe Napoleon was not a man of God, but at this moment, probably God put words in his mouth, and he said, you know, people who so much remember for so many years the destruction of their temple, who had such a wonderful past, what kind of a future they are going to have. Thank God. After Av comes the month of Elul. There are also no feasts in this month. But many Jews, not all of them, especially the Sephardic Jews, you know, there is a distinction between Ashkenazi Jews, Sephardic Jews, Jews from Yemen, Jews from Ethiopia, Jews from this and this part of the world, but the two mainstream are the Sephardic, those who came from Spain, expulsion of Jews from Spain, happened also on Tisha B'Av at the year 1492. And these Jews, they mourn, or they actually, it's called Slichot, it's a picture. They are praying to God for forgiveness for whole months before Rosh Hashanah, before the beginning of the year. They're praying every morning, waking up at 4 o'clock before going to work. They go to the synagogue and they are blowing the shofar. This is the shofar. At the left you see a horn of a ram. This is the shofar. They're blowing the shofar and they are praying for forgiveness with tears. We will sing now Shema Kolenu. It's a song of prayer taken out of the Tfilat Shmonesre, which means the prayer book, where the every day, morning, afternoon, and evening, they pray from this Shmonesre.
Tilat Shmona Esrei, the prayer which every Jew says three times a day. It includes 18 paragraphs. Most of them are asking for the redemption and for forgiveness. And this song is saying actually, hear our voice, O Lord, and hear our prayers, because you hear prayers. And he is listening and hearing all our prayers, even if he doesn't answer immediately. Thank God. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, but in the Bible it's not called like this, it's called the Feast of the Trumpets. On this day, the shofar, and you can see in the middle, this is the small shofar. At the beginning you saw the big shofar. Shofar is actually a horn of a ram. The blowing of the shofar is a part of like calling God. And it's called the Feast of Remembrance of the Trumpets. Chag Zichron Tru'ah. We in our congregation at the eve are eating together, as you can see, the hall here at the left. And of course, when the day comes next morning, it's called Likra Kodesh, which means holy reading. We read from the Bible certain passages, which include those passages which speak about the feast itself and others, and of course psalms, and we sing. And one very important thing, which we didn't speak yet about, and there is no picture of it, is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the most important feast of the Jewish people. And there is a saying which says, more than the people of Israel kept Shabbat, Shabbat kept the people of Israel. Without the Shabbat, we wouldn't be the people of Israel. Without the Shabbat, we wouldn't be keeping the laws of God. Without the Sabbath, there wouldn't be the people of Israel. And at the Shabbat, we are gathering in our congregation, and we pray, and there is a sermon, and we sing, and we praise the Lord, and some... Chatzibah. Okay. We will sing now the song of Chatzibah. You already heard it with an opera singer, and Paul, who is not an opera singer.
Yeah.
The words of this song actually are taken from Isaiah 20:62. For the sake of Zion, I will not be quiet, and for the sake of Jerusalem, I will not be silent, until her righteousness will shine and her salvation like a torch. And many nations will see the righteousness, and many kings will come for the honor, and will have a new name which God will give, and you will be like glory in the hand of God and kingdom in the hand of your Lord. And never you will be forsaken again, and your land will not be a desert, but you will be called Hephzibah, which means my delight is in you. Amen. After Rosh Hashanah comes Yom Kippur, probably the most sacred an important day in Jewish life, the Day of Atonement. We as believers know who is our atonement, and we pray for our nation to come to know our Lord, our Messiah, Yeshua, Son of God. We pray because they are crying at this day. You can see the pictures of people praying on Yom Kippur in the synagogue, a famous picture by Gottlieb, a Jewish painter. They are crying to God to forgive their sins. And they know they don't have an atonement. So please pray also for the Jewish people to come to know Yeshua the Messiah soon. Let's
sing another song. Vaikanu Ami. Just a minute, I'll find this for you. 17, number 17.
Meanwhile, you can look at the beautiful couple over there. Yes, on the bottom of the picture.
ויקנו עמי אשר נקרא שמי עליהם ויתפללו ויבקשו פנה וישרו בדעתיהם הרעים אני אשמע, מן השמיים. אני אשמע, מן השמיים. ויקנו עמי אשר נקרא שמי עליהם ויתפללו ויבקשו מנה וישו מדרכיהם הרעים אני אשמע, אני אשמע, מן השמיים. אני אשמע, מן השמיים. ושלם את עמדתם.
We have a little surprise for you, David. עכשיו את השיר, עם השיר יוחן? אין לנו זמן פה. אתה רוצה את הידות? Where's the watchkeeper? The timekeeper?
Let's just have a few questions, if it's okay, and another song.
One song.
One more song. At the end.
One song. See?
One more now?
Okay.
You know what chutzpah is?
It's a surprise.
Hey, 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 heaven wants to belong. Heaven wants to belong. Heaven wants to belong. It's a wish we have. Heaven wants to belong. Heaven wants to belong. Alle Bashme, Bashme, Bashme,
surprise. For those that speak only English, the surprise was they sang in Polish. So, is it okay if we ask a couple questions? We don't want to keep these brethren too long. It's 9:23. We've had a long day and it's But tomorrow we get to Shabbat. We all know this. Tomorrow is Shabbat. So we get to rest. So Daniel, come on up here. Daniel has probably spent the most intimate time with these dear ones in Male Adumin. One thing that I think they're starting to realize now is that we come from many different cultures in this room, just like you come from many different cultures, and our belief in Yeshua breaks down all those differences. What I think about, is how difficult it must be for a Jew after 2,000 years of atrocities and persecutions done in the name of Yeshua, for you to have this experience, personal experience, each one of you in a different way have accepted Yeshua into your life, and how unnatural that is after all these years of persecution. I have to ask you, do you feel this is a movement in Israel? That I know most Messianics believe in three gods and not one. Most Messianic Jews. So this movement of belief in Yeshua as your brother, as a 100% a man when he was on the earth, this is not accepted by most Messianics. Is that true in Israel, or am I? What do you say about this?
You know, in Israel, you used to say, "Make your laundry at home, not outside." So you want me to start criticizing someone in Israel or say something? No, we are quite unique in Israel, quite different. There is no movement not a new movement of so-called Jews who believe in Yeshua, about the Messianic Jews. Let them speak about themselves. Yes, usually they accept Trinity and some of them even believe that a Jew must keep the law of God, and we believe that we have to keep, we must keep the law of God like Yeshua, and we walk like him, and the other things also, the feast and also Shabbat and the other things. Not a real movement, and let's say we are quite strangers, like you. All of you who are really strange.
Strangers,
yes. So we are too, we are quite strange, you know. Because we don't accept Trinity, and so, and we believe in some other things that make us quite different. We believe that anyone in our congregation who is a healthy man, who's young, and so he can serve also in the army, and he must serve in the army. And most of us, we believe that in order to survive and keep ourselves, we have to work. Yes. We have no connections with any Christian church or any denomination or this, and nobody support us. We support ourselves, and we walk out, and we believe that we have to be one with our people. I'm living within my people. I'm not standing on a mountain, Mount Olympus, and I tell them, come, I have the truth. No, just go down. Live with them. Be with them. We say it in Hebrew, you know, in Polish we used to say it, we eat all the garbage with them. And so be with them and live with them, and then don't make any missionary activity. We don't believe in missionary activity. We believe in witnessing one by one. Show yourself. Live with them. Show them your life. Let them ask the questions. And Emmanuel and I, we can tell all of you honestly, that the best time for us to bring the gospel to the people of Israel and the name of Yeshua to the people of Israel is during war. During wars and during the regular service or reserved service. This is the best time for us. But of course, also in other times, we don't hide. We are not, as I've told you, we are not hiding our face. And of course, we have to pay for it something, but a good payment. The more they are against us, more people knows about Yeshua HaMashiach. So, nothing special, Paul.
Yes. Nothing special. So, I think we will allow you to sing one more, if it's okay. And then we will...
In Israel, Eli next time is so anxious to give you his witness, he came to know God and Yeshua HaMashiach, but some policeman, very bad man, is standing here and he's just holding us. Yes, look at him, he's so... No, he's not a bad man. No, please, you don't understand. Some humor. You know, and in Israel we say that any time when we add in a special occasion, special time, we have to raise Jerusalem in our lips, in our hearts. And this is what we are going to sing to you. Oh, praise Jerusalem. Jerusalem, praise your God. This is what we are going to sing to you. Okay? So, thank you.
It's called Shabchi Yerushalayim, praise Jerusalem, your God. I will tell you where it is now. Shabchi. Number 31. And I just explained in short the words. Taken from
So, Eli, can you give your testimony real quick first? Come over. We're going to just have a one more testimony and a hymn, and then we'll close with prayer. You are from Tunis.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was raised in France. He will speak in Hebrew, so you'll have the opportunity to hear Hebrew. Very important.
Bible student, study Hebrew. The best way to know the Bible. Because the translations are not accurate. And another thing, you cannot translate a word from Hebrew to all the languages. It's not possible because in the Hebrew language hidden a lot of things which are not able to be translated. Okay. I will translate him.
זה פעם הראשונה שאני נותן עדות שלי לפני כל כך הרבה אנשים.
It's the first time I give my testimony in front of so many people.
כמו ששמעתם, אני נולדתי בטוניס.
As you heard, I've been born in Tunis.
מהורים יהודים שהיו מסורתיים.
Jewish, Masoretic, or observant Jews.
בטוניס בשנת 53, 1953, התחילו הפוגרום בעיר שגרתי.
At the year 1953, there started to be pogroms in the city which I was born.
הרחובות שהיו, היו צרים.
The streets were narrow.
וברחוב הזה היו צועקים, מוות ליהודים, מוות ליהודים.
People came, Arabs, and shouted, death to the Jew.
וגם שרפו את הטרמוי רכבת קלה.
They burned the light train at the same day.
באותו יום כל המשפחה שלי עשו מזוודות וברחו באמצע הלילה.
The same night my family took their luggage and ran away from the city.
הם ברחו בלילה שלא יראו אותנו עוזבים.
They fled in the middle of the night to France so that they will be not spotted and not be seen.
ואנחנו נסענו לצרפת, עלינו לאונייה ונסענו לצרפת.
We went to France on a ship and we came to the city.
והגענו לעיר שקוראים לה Aix-en-Provence.
Which is called Aix-en-Provence.
ושמה גדלתי וחונכתי בבית ספר צרפתית.
There I was raised and I was educated in a French school.
ובגיל 20 יצאתי עם חברים לריקודים.
When I was 20 years old, I went with friends out to some villages.
בכפרים בקיץ היו כל מיני ריקודים למיניהם ברחוב.
There were dances in the streets of these villages.
ושמה הכרתי את אשתי שרה.
There I met my wife Sarah. Raise your hand, Sarah.
אשתי לעתיד. התחתנו בשנת 1965.
We were married at the year of 1965.
ונולדו לנו שני בנים.
And there were born two sons.
ואימא של שרה הייתה מאמינה.
Sarah's mother, she was a believer.
והיא דיברה הרבה על המשיח.
She spoke a lot about the Messiah.
ונתנה לנו תנ"ך, תנ"ך שלם.
And she gave us a whole Bible, a complete Bible.
אבל אני כמובן כיהודי קראתי רק את התנ"ך.
As a Jew, of course, I read only the Old Testament. So-called Old Testament.
רק את החמישה חומשי תורה.
Only the five books of Moses.
אני אמרתי לעצמי, זה חמש חומשי תורה, זה מדבר אליי, כי אני יהודי.
I said to myself, these five books of Moses, I'm accepting. It's Jewish. I'm Jew.
אבל לקבל את ישוע משיח, זה לא בשבילי.
But accepting Yeshua as the Messiah is not for me, I'm a Jew.
היה לי פחד נורא לעזוב אלוהים של אבותינו.
I was terrified to forsake the God of our fathers.
העדות של חמותי בכל יום ויום מאוד השפיעה עליי.
But the testimony of my mother-in-law every day was affecting me very strong.
היא הייתה מלמדת ילדים של הרחוב.
She was teaching kids from the street.
כל יום חמישי.
Every Thursday.
והיא
יום אחד, זה היה בחופש שלי, יום אחד לא היה לה הסעה להגיע לשם.
One day I had a vacation and she didn't have the way to go there and I took her.
ושאלה אותי אם אני, בגלל שאני בחופש, אם אני יכול להסיע אותה לשם.
She asked me, can you drive me there? You are in vacation, you have a free day.
אז לקחתי אותה ונכנסנו לכנסייה.
I took her and we went into the church.
על השולחן היה ספר גדול וישן.
On the podium there was a big Bible, an old big Bible.
והיה, אני עכשיו מתרגש, אני מצטער. הספר היה פתוח על ישעיהו 53.
I'm excited now to tell you this. The book was exactly opened on the place of Isaiah 53.
קראתי אותו כמה פעמים.
I read it a few times.
וכמובן קראתי אותו שנתנה לנו את התנ"ך. קראתי אותו, אבל לא חשבתי.
Of course, when she gave us the Bible, I read it a few times, but I didn't connect it to anything.
הייתי כל כך מופתע ממה שאני קורא שלא יכולתי לזוז, הייתי כמו פסל.
I was so surprised from what I read that I felt like a statue who cannot move.
בגלל שהתעכבתי במקום, התעכבתי וחמותי באה לבדוק מה קרה, למה אני לא חוזר.
Because I was delayed, my mother-in-law, she came to see what happened to me. Why don't you come back with me?
לא יכולתי לדבר איתה.
I couldn't speak.
לא יצא לי מילים מהפה.
Words came not out of my mouth.
הייתי רק מראה לה מהעיניים שלי, מהזווית, מראה לה, מסביר לה מה אני קורא.
I just with my eyes explained to her that I'm reading and I don't know to say what happened to me.
אז היא אמרה לי, כמובן, זה המשיח שלך, זה האדון שלך, הוא שסבל בשבילך.
She said, of course, this is your Messiah, the one who suffered because for you.
אז כמו הקסקסים שנפלו לי מהעיניים שלי.
שרון, מה זה קסקסים? It's like scales fall from my eyes.
ובאותו יום, באותו רגע, הבנתי מה אני קורא, הבנתי מי סבל, ורק בירכתי את אלוהים על מה שישוע הוא המשיח.
The same place I didn't want to leave this. I just read it and I wanted to stay because I understood that Yeshua is the Messiah.
הוא סבל בשבילי, הוא מת בשבילי.
He suffered for me. He died for me.
סיפרתי לאשתי.
I told it my wife.
על האמונה שלי.
About my faith.
סיפרתי להורים שלי.
I told my parents.
ואמרו לי, אתה מת בשבילנו, אתה לא קיים.
My parents told me, you died for us, you are not existing anymore. הורים שלו.
ההורים שלי, שאמרתי להם שאני מאמין בישוע, אמרו לי, אתה מת בשבילנו, אתה לא קיים.
When I told them I believe in Yeshua, the Messiah, they said, you are not existing anymore for us, you are dead for us.
אבל תודה לאל שאחרי כמה זמן שראתה, ראו, זאת אומרת ההורים ראו איך אנחנו חיים, שאנחנו אוהבים אותם, לא השתננו. אז לאט לאט הדבר הזה נרגע.
But with time, they accepted us because they saw our testimony within our life. They saw how we behave, how we love each other, and we didn't change our attitude towards them.
אז סיפרתי לאשתי שאני רוצה, לא טוב לי בצרפת, לא טוב לי, ואני צריך מדינה חמה.
So I told my wife, it's not good for me to stay in France. I need a warm country.
ולא ידעתי מה זה מדינה חמה, זה אפריקה.
I didn't know what I meant when I said it. What is it, Africa or somewhere?
לפני האמונה לא רציתי לשמוע על ישראל.
Before I came to faith, I never wanted to hear even about Israel.
אמרתי במחשבה שלי, אמרתי ישראל זה מדבר.
In my thought, Israel was a desert.
יש חמורים, יש
גמלים. There are maybe donkeys or camels going there.
זה הכל ככה בימים ביניים כזה.
So I thought it's like the medieval ages.
אבל תודה לאל שלא הגעתי לאפריקה, אלא הגענו לישראל, בלי שאני לא יודע את השפה, לא יודע את המדינה, לא מכיר שום דבר, אף אחד.
But thank God we came to Israel without knowing anything about this country, anything about the language, nothing. I knew nothing.
אבל אם אדוננו ישוע משיח, אנחנו יכולים ללכת בביטחון, אם הוא שולח אותנו, אנחנו חייבים לציית.
With our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, we have to obey, we have to walk, and then we can be sure it will be okay.
והגענו לישראל עם שני מזוודות ושני ילדים.
The kind of it are יותר מזוודות. To Israel we came with luggage of two suitcases and two kids. I said to him, to here to Poland for 2 weeks you came with much more.
השארנו מאחרינו את ההורים שלי, את ההורים של האחים והאחיות.
We left behind our parents, my parents, her parents, brothers and sisters and friends.
ועשינו כמו שכתוב באברהם אבינו לך לך.
We obeyed
בראשית 12.
We obeyed this was which was said to Abraham our father, go to the country I show to you, I give you. In Genesis 12:1.
ולא קל להגיע להתחיל בחזרה באפס.
But it's like starting from zero. It's not easy.
אבל בעזרת השם הכל אפשרי.
But with the help of God anything is possible.
לשנת 70 היה אפשר למצוא עבודה ולהתחיל הכל מחדש.
At the year of 70 when we came it was possible to find work. At the beginning it was difficult.
אבל שהגענו לישראל כמאמין לא רציתי לפספס שום התחברות.
But I didn't want to miss any fellowship with other believers.
ואז נסענו 50 קילומטר כל שבת בכל מזג אוויר בכל מחלה ואני יודע מה.
Every Shabbat we were traveling about 50 kilometers in any weather, in any condition, whether we were sick or healthy. כן, לא פרומה.
ובשנת 1978 הכרנו דוד ואסתר.
In the year 1978 we met brother David and sister Esther.
והיום אנחנו חיים בישראל 46 שנים.
Now we live for 46 years in Israel.
ואנחנו לא מסתרים לרגע אחד.
And we do not regret for one moment.
תודה לאל.
Thank God he is so good.
Thank you, thank you. Hallelujah.
ברוך אתה אדוני המברך את אדון ישראל בשלום בשלום ברוך אתה אדוני המברך את אדון ישראל בשלום בשלום Don't be in the net
Thank you, thank you. Just one more reminder.
Otherwise, I'll be sick. You said that when you end the evening in such a nice evening, we have to remember Jerusalem, okay?
Oh, yes.
One song. One song. Paul. Other bite. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, very good. Very good.
Shabbat Yerushalayim Adonai Alleluia Noai Zion. Shabbat Yerushalayim Adonai.
Okay to end now? I want to just remind you, these hymns are available for you to get the CD and the hymn book on the book table.